For me, luckily, it wasn't that severe. And I just had to watch what I ate. And I found that really interesting when I had gestational diabetes, because Asians have a high risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And one of the reasons for that is we eat lots of rice. You know, you tell me. And so when the endocrinologist say, well, you have to cut down on rice, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Can you look what I am? I am Asian. I eat rice. That's my staple. But, you know, what really made a difference was when I eat, you know, normal jasmine rice, my glucose levels just skyrocketed. And then when I switched to basmati rice, it was like so good. So that's when it really made me think low GI versus high GI really, really makes a difference. Because when I had gestational diabetes, I eat a big portion of basmati rice and my glucose level was really stable after 2 hours when I checked it, compared to a tiny handful of jasmine rice, my glucose level just skyrocketed. So that was really an eye-opener for me.
For those who don't know what GI is, what is GI?
It stands for glycemic index. And that is a terminology that we use to label a food that releases sugar, how quickly, right? So if you have white bread, for example, that is simple carbohydrate, and when you eat that and you digest that, glucose gets released instantaneously, compared to a food such as brown rice or basmati rice, for example, that's low glycemic index, right? Because researchers have looked at that and they can see when you eat that, it slowly releases the glucose into your bloodstream, which is good because you want your sugar levels in your blood to be stable.
For type 1 and type 2 diabetes, it's something that doesn't necessarily have a cure. There are treatments or ways to manage it.
Yep.
With gestational diabetes, is that something that only presents itself during the term of pregnancy and then can kind of fade away?
That's right. So once I gave birth, it just went away. It was like miraculously gone away. But it doesn't really go away. You have that risk because research has shown people with gestational diabetes are at a higher risk, so that later in life they would tend to develop type 2 diabetes compared to someone that didn't develop gestational diabetes.
Why is that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like imprinting. We don't really know, so that's research is still going on about that, but I'm assuming it's to do with some kind of imprinting where, you know, once you have that, you're predisposing your body to developing it. And a big part of it is also to do with genetics. So it's like a double whammy, you know, you got a genetic risk, you got in your family, you got gestational diabetes and ethnicity, like being Asian. I've got all three of those factors. So I really need to make sure I watch what I eat and what I do, my lifestyle, essentially, yeah.
And I guess to go to the research that you're doing now with type 2 diabetes and also what you'd mentioned at the beginning about those who live with type 2 diabetes are 4 times more likely to develop other cardiovascular problems.
Heart disease, yeah. 1 in 12 Australians essentially develop heart disease a day, right? So that makes diabetes as one of the top 10 killers in Australia. So You don't often hear someone dying of diabetes, right? You hear someone dying from a heart attack, dying from a heart disease, because people with type 2 diabetes, they essentially don't die from diabetes per se. They develop other diseases such as cardiovascular disease, and that is essentially what kills them. So in my research, what I'm currently working on that's funded by the Diabetes Australia is I'm working on good cholesterol. So with diabetes, what researchers have noticed is if you have diabetes, you tend to have a lower level of good cholesterol and a higher level of the bad cholesterol. So what some researchers have done is they've looked at, okay, if we then can boost this high cholesterol in models in the laboratory, can that stop or prevent the development of type 2 diabetes? And it does. We use good cholesterol that we isolated from our blood, and we noticed that it can slow down and prevent the progression to type 2 diabetes. However, it's hard to generate much good cholesterol just by isolating it from our blood. So what researchers have done is they have looked at the molecules that are associated with good cholesterol, and we've synthesized it. So synthetically made these molecules that is highly associated with good cholesterol. But at the same time, these molecules are really, really small.
And what kind of things are they? Are they like proteins
they're
or
like,
something?
So, yeah, you've got a proteins, but they're like small little chunks of the protein. So they're called peptides, right? And these peptides are what mimic the function of the good cholesterol. However, because they're so small, when you inject them, they get degraded, you know, they get broken down very, very easily. So what I'm currently working on is coating these little peptides in sort of a, it's called micelles. So we encase them in sort of like a encasing a pill, yeah? We coat them in some kind of molecule such that when we inject them, it protects the drug, so the peptide, and it gets delivered into where we want it to deliver to, in my case, the liver, and have its effect. Right. One of the reasons why I'm saying liver is because it's been shown that if you have inflammation in the liver as a result of, say, eating a meal of very high fatty food, the liver can become inflamed. And by simply inflaming the liver, research has shown that you can then develop type 2 diabetes. So when you fall down, for example, you graze your knee, you will feel some kind of throbbing, for example. That's what we refer to as acute inflammation because your body instantly reacts to it, okay? Chronic inflammation is what underlies a lot of diseases. That's cancer, that's heart disease, you know, Alzheimer's disease even. So with diabetes, having that high glucose level, essentially, or the high fat food that we eat, this can induce inflammation in a lot of our tissues, mainly in type 2 diabetes, in the insulin sensitive tissues, which is the liver, skeletal muscle, the pancreas. So inflammation actually causes the dysfunction.
And I guess for your research, at what stage of diagnosis, or even is it before someone might become diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. where do you see your research kind of being implemented?
I'm quite wary about going reversing type 2 diabetes. Can we reverse type 2 diabetes, right? It's always going to be there. And you still need to watch your lifestyle, right? You still need to make sure you're eating properly and you're exercising. Those to me in a way is kind of like a treatment. It is hard. Having two kids, it's hard to exercise after a long day of work. It's hard to not reach for that yummy cake or whatever. For people like me, is if you know that you have a risk of developing type 2 diabetes, can you do something to stop it? So let's say you know you don't have a lot of time to do exercise and all that. Generate a supplement, for example, even to go, okay, if I take this once a week on top of what I'm trying to do in terms of lifestyle changes, can I slow down and prevent the disease from going to full-blown type 2 diabetes?